Welcome to the Focus Church podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
A brand new series of messages called This Is My Story, Luke chapter 23. Every Sunday is going to be like an Easter Sunday message. Someone asked me, aren't you worried you're going to give them all the good stuff before Easter Sunday? And I told them, I said, every Sunday is Easter Sunday at Focus Church. The tomb has been empty for 2,000 plus years. So we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord over the next several weeks. And so grateful for our worship team taking us into the presence of the Lord at all of our locations. And Luke chapter 23. Verse 32, and then we'll jump to 39 through 43. Are you ready for God's word? Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. He's like, hey, save yourself, but don't forget about us too. Us too. P.S. Us too. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance today that I have the hope of my salvation and the assurance of my salvation in Jesus Christ. I assure you today. Today, not tomorrow, not when you get your act together, not when you grow up and get older, not when your credit score improves, not when you find the love of your life, not when you buy the house. I assure you that today, despite your current circumstances, today, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, today, you will be with me in paradise. Turn to your neighbor and say, today is that day. Let's pray. Why don't you repeat after me today? Say, dear God, today, do what no man can do. Open my eyes. Open my heart that I may receive your word, believe your word, and obey your word. Amen and amen. The phrase that Jesus uses today is, you will be with me in paradise, or paraíso, which is in Spanish, paradise. And the phrase that he uses is with one of two convicted criminals that are receiving the same punishment as Jesus, a Roman crucifixion. This is a brutal, painful, and public death for the crimes that the two on either side of Jesus have committed. We don't know the exact crime that they've done, but they were guilty. And people knew that, and people in Rome knew that they wanted to see these men die for the crimes that they had committed. And they are being executed on each side of Jesus. And scriptures both describe to us, both in Matthew 27 and in Mark 15, that these criminals are participating in mocking Jesus. They're participating in the mockery of Jesus. And it's interesting that even those dying next to Jesus are still mocking Jesus. It's one thing for the people who are at the foot of the cross, gambling for his clothes, stabbing him in his side, giving him vinegar to drink. It's one thing for them to mock him. Imagine people that are actually in their last breath, they're using their last breath to also mock Jesus. Sometimes even your haters that are on the same boat with you will take you down with them. Have you met those people before? Same people. Like, you're dying with me. I'm still going to take you down. I'm going to take you down. It's interesting. However, at some point during this brutal process, 50% of them change their mind. One thief changes his mind. And now they have two different responses to the gospel. They have two different responses. One says, I can't go on living like this. And the other remains the same. And I would like to propose to you today at all of our locations with this Easter message a couple weeks early that you have two options today as well. 2,000 years later in the year of our Lord 2024, you and I both have these two options. We have the two responses that the two criminals, we can partake in two things. Is your heart rebellious or repentant? Is your heart rebellious or repented. Nobody wants sugar-coated preaching today. And I didn't bring that in my bag. Is your heart rebellious or repentant? That's the question. I don't know if you've ever been in a rebellious phase before. I was in a rebellious phase. I gave my parents all they bargained for. They paid the price for having me as a child. One thief has a rebellious heart and one thief has a repentant heart. And when you face Jesus, you're going to have to decide which heart you give him, a rebellious one or a repentant one. So what are the characteristics of a rebellious heart? Let's start with the tough stuff first, and then we'll end with the good news last. Are you good with that? All right. Characteristics of a rebellious heart. Number one, a rebellious heart joins in with the crowd. If you go with the flow, you have a rebellious heart. The first criminal simply joined in the mockery of Jesus, which was what everyone else was already doing. He took no stand, no courage, no pushback. He just said, whatever everyone else is doing, I'm going to do that. And in this day and time that we are living in, we cannot afford to join the crowd. We cannot afford to join the crowd. Be worried when your voice it fits right in with the popular and loudest voice in our current day. We should not sound like the world. We should not be like the world. We should not talk like the world. We should not live like the world. We should not go with the flow. Instead, we should be people that swim upstream against the current. We are not of the world. We are in it, but we aren't of it. We are what they call the sent out ones, the ecclesia, the ones that have been called out. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are not a part of the crowd. And when you get to become a part of the crowd, it will lead towards more rebellion. Here's what I've learned, especially lately. It's I get a lot of phone calls, people asking for my opinion, people asking for my help, people asking for my insight. And I've realized that a lot of my insight is not popular. It doesn't, my approach is not always tactful, as you can tell. But what I've realized, and I wrote this in my notes, is that you can have a popular voice or you can have a prophetic voice, but you can't have both. And the further we get closer to the Lord's return, the more weird my prophetic voice is going to seem. But I refuse to die as the popular voice. I want to live as the prophetic voice to my generation. This church won't be a popular church. It will be a prophetic church. We're not looking to go with the flow or to be cute and relevant and go with the crowd. We are looking to go upstream against the current, against the grain in the ways of the Lord. Here's the trap that many people fall into in Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. See, Christianity wasn't meant to be the popular version. Christianity wasn't meant to be the go with the flow version. We weren't meant to be the person that just fits in. We were meant to be called out and separate. Be ye holy. Be ye separate. That was the King James version that my parents hit me over the head with. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Meaning if it's easy, it's probably going to destroy you. If you're comfortable, it's probably going to destroy you. And many enter through it. So it's not even, it's popular. It's very popular to go through the wide gate. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and I want to be a part of the only a few find it. My prayer for your family is that you would be a part of the few, that in these end times that we are living in these dark days that we are living in these persecuted times that we are living in, I declare and I decree that we will go through the narrow gate. We will go through the narrow door. We will walk on the narrow road, and we will be a part of the few that find it. We aren't going to just go with the flow and go with the current and be lackadaisical or comfortable or just fit right in, but instead we will be called out, separate and apart. A rebellious heart. The second thing about a rebellious heart is a rebellious heart questions what God says.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about inquiring of the Lord. I'm not talking about pondering his ways or his will. I'm not talking about going before God and pleading for his ways and his will to be done in your life. This is different. This is a question of authority. This is undermining the sovereignty of God. Luke 23:39, it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. And he says this, aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. See, a rebellious person, they question God. They question the authority of God. They question the sovereignty of God. They question the plans and purposes of God. I'm not talking about going before the Lord and asking for direction. I'm talking about going before the Lord and trying to get him to do things that you know that he is capable of already doing. It's interesting because this tactic Satan uses in the garden, questioning the authority of our Almighty God. Do you remember what the first question he asked Eve while he's tempting her? Does anybody know? Did God really say? Questioning the authority of God leads to rebellion. Questioning the authority of God leads to rebellion. If you doubt God's sovereignty, you doubt his plans, you doubt his purposes, it leads you to start questioning whether or not he's really who he said he was. And my Bible says that his will is pleasing, perfect, and good. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. This criminal questions God's authority, and rebellious people question God's authority. We're living in a time where you can't tell me what to do. Disrespect towards authority. There's no more authority. Next thing is this, a rebellious heart demands a sign. They demand a sign. A rebellious heart demands a sign. If he don't show up, if he doesn't show up, he's not real. I met people before, if they didn't get goosebumps, then the worship wasn't good. They didn't sing Oceans, the worship wasn't good. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. A rebellious heart demands a sign based on feelings. But I've got a word full of promises and facts. I don't need a sign from God to be a son of God, because I've got the word that is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I don't need a sign from God because I've already got the word of God. I don't need a sign from God because I've been given the Son of God, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Am I preaching today at any of our locations? Matthew 12:38-39. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign. We want to see a sign from you. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. Who helped me, Jesus? But none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And the sign of the prophet Jonah was Jesus on the cross. The rebellious criminal is asking for a sign. He's staring at the sign. He is the lamb that was slain. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bright and morning star. He is the spotless lamb. He is the one who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one who was, the one who is, the one who will be. I'm getting ahead of myself, but he is the sign. You don't need the sign because he is the sign. A rebellious heart. I gotta go. A rebellious heart sees God as someone to be used, not someone to be worshiped. A lot of American church people come to church when they need something from God. They pay their tithe only when they're looking for a blessing, not out of obedience. They only serve in church when it's convenient for them. Fifth Sundays of the month. There's only four of those a year. A rebellious heart sees God as someone to be used. Well, I want to get. God is not a vending machine. He's not fan. He's not FanDuel. He's not gambling. You don't put money in and hope to get something out. Says one of the criminals. Says, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Meaning, He didn't want Jesus to save himself for Jesus' sake. He wanted Jesus to save himself for his own sake. The only reason that he wanted Jesus to save himself was so that then Jesus could save him. His motive is completely selfish and self-serving. He wasn't speaking with Jesus because he loved Jesus or cared about Jesus. He was speaking to Jesus because he cared about himself. All right, next thing. Rebellious heart doesn't acknowledge its sin, but wants relief from its consequences. Notice that nowhere the first criminal never acknowledges that he deserves the punishment of being on that cross. Never confesses his sins, never admits he's getting what he deserves, and he just wants reprieve from the consequences, but he's not remorseful of his actions. He's pleading and desperate to get out of it because of the consequences, not because he's remorseful. Many in rebellion will plead because of the consequences, but not out of remorse. This is not the heart that gets God's attention. If you're just trying to get out of a situation due to your rebellion, God does not lean his ear towards that. However, there is a heart posture that demands a response from Jesus, and that is a repentant heart. Let's turn the camera to the other criminal now, the repentant one. Here are the characteristics of a repentant heart. Are you ready? I got good news. There are two criminals. Aren't you glad that we're just not reading from the one criminal that was rebellious, but God gave us an alternative? Praise God for Jesus. A repentant heart fears God. A repentant heart fears God. In verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? Do you know what we've lost? Do you know what I have to contend for in my personal life? I don't have to contend for a lot of addictions or a lot of crazy sin patterns. I don't have to contend for a lot of bad habits. What I have to contend for is ensuring that I fear God. What I have to contend for is ensuring that I don't become a professional pastor that lacks the fear of God. What I am here today to do is to ensure that everyone at every location never loses sight of the fear of God. Because it's not who's in the White House that really matters. It's not who's the governor that really matters. It's not who's in the school board that really matters. What really matters is that we've lost the fear of God. But when you get the fear of God, everything can change in your life, because you become sensitive to things that you were once not sensitive to. Do you remember when you'd walk by the old stores that sold, you know, demonic things, and you'd feel something in your spirit? Fear God. Remember when you used to drive by the bar that you used to frequent so much, and you say, can't believe I used to go there. Fear of God. Don't you fear God? That's what we need. We need the fear of God. We need the fear of God. Well, you don't need anything else but the fear of God. He has such a high view of God that he was surprised at how the other criminal was approaching God. This is all happening within minutes of the last breath of their life. All this stuff is happening. They're running out of breaths, and he's saying, "Don't you?" He's talking to the guy across the cross. Don't you fear God? They're having a full-blown conversation. Here's the next thing. A repentant heart acknowledges its sin. I've said repentance and sin in the same sentence. I'm going to get canceled today. Not very popular. Verse 41, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Some of you are too saved. You forgot. You forgot what it was like to be a sinner. I want to let you know today, we were all once on the highway to hell, driving very fast. We were dead in our sins, dead in our transgressions, but Christ, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He picked us up from the miry clay, and he placed our feet on solid rock. I was hell bound, I was blind, I was deaf, and I was dead in my sins, but Christ died for me, and I acknowledge my sin, and I acknowledge my need for Jesus Christ. A repentant heart acknowledges Jesus' innocence. Ooh. He was not just a man. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. If you want to be a repentant person, you need to know Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. Verse 41, we are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. To see the innocence of Jesus is to live a life of repentance. I've sinned, but you have not sinned. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I acknowledge Jesus' innocence. Jesus wasn't just another prophet. Jesus wasn't just another man that walked on earth. He was innocent, without sin, fully human, fully God, no sin. All right, next thing. A repentant heart acknowledges Jesus' power to save. Whoo! I'm so grateful for salvation. Luke 23, 42, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledges that Jesus has the ability to change his eternal destination. Like, allow me to enter into the kingdom. Just remember me. If you can, just remember me. He acknowledges that Jesus has the power to save. You know, Joseph Smith doesn't have the power to save. Buddha doesn't have the power to save. Allah doesn't have the power to save because they are all in their grave. But my Jesus has the power to save because he is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. He is enthroned in glory. He is alive and well and left us the Holy Spirit as our comforter and our guide. I came to preach to someone today that needs to acknowledge the power that is in Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection and soon return. I acknowledge he has the power to save. A repentant heart, lastly, has the humility to ask for grace. Don't be too proud to ask for grace. Don't be the criminal on the other side, mocking Jesus, questioning Jesus. Instead, ask for grace. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. This is the heart posture that demands an ear of God. Luke 23, 43, Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, you'll be with me in paradise. A man convicted of a terrible crime deserving of crucifixion? Yes. A man didn't serve God a single day in his life? No baptism, no white gloves on the usher team, no big church hat, no organ behind him, no membership card, no small group attendance, no VTR attendance, never filled out a U card? Of course. A man who never did anything for God in his earthly body. That is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. Jesus responded to this man on the cross, and it brings eternity to life for us, that those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now he gets to spend eternity. You know, eternity gets a bad rap because I grew up with the Left Behind book series. I don't know if you guys ever seen those. Nikolai Carpathia, the Antichrist character. I remember. I was in, right before bedtime. Jesus could come back tonight. Good night. Sleep tight. Hope your life is right. But it's going to be glorious. If you're in Christ today, you don't have to worry about the end of the world. If you're in Christ today, we have the hope of glory. If you're in Christ today, eternity is secured. I assure you today is what Jesus told the thief on the cross. I assure you. See, where you spend eternity is dependent on your response to Jesus. Here's what I know. I close with this. We aren't promised tomorrow, so trust Christ today. Can you trust Christ with your last breath? Can you trust Christ when things are falling apart? Can you trust Christ on the cross? Don't put off tomorrow what you can do right now. And that is to put your trust in Jesus. Now, for those who are in Christ, oh, I got good news for you today. We get more than we could ever imagine. I love this part. I love this part of the story. Because the criminal was hoping that someday he would be with Jesus. And Jesus says, today. The criminal was hoping to be remembered by Jesus. He got to join in with Jesus. Oh, the criminal was hoping to enter some sort of kingdom that was there on earth, some sort of kingdom that Jesus had talked about. He said, you're not just going to get the kingdom, you're going to get paradise. See, when you are in Christ, things get better than you think they do. When you are in Christ, you hope for someday, but Jesus does it today. For when you're in Christ, you thought the kingdom was good. Wait till you get to paradise. When you're in Christ, everything gets better. He got to experience what John 11, 25 through 26 says. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? It's not a crazy stigma. It's not a scary thing. The return of Christ is going to be glorious for his church. And I want our church to be a ready bride, pure and holy, ready for his return. Revelation 22, 20, this is Eden restored, new heavens, new earth. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, we don't get to know the conversation that the thief has on his first day in paradise. So we get to imagine it, but we don't get insight to actually what happened. But I'm guessing that, you know, he breathes his last breath. He's at the pearly gates and Jesus is there. And he's like, I'm not dressed for this. They put me on that cross naked. Is there a dress code up here? And Jesus looks at him and says, son, you are clothed in righteousness. You are clothed in righteousness. Oh, my guess would be he walks through the doors and you could hear a pin drop. And they're thinking to themselves, on what basis are you here? On what basis? How did you get into here? Who let you in? What did you do to deserve access to paradise? How in the world? You committed crimes. You were being punished, rightfully so, for those crimes. On what basis are you here? I'd ask you the same question today. On what basis are you here? And I could just picture him saying, the man on the middle cross said I could come in. The man on the middle cross is not just a man. He is the Messiah. He is the living God. He is the one who was. He is the one who is. He is the one who will be. He is the lamb that was slain. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is my King. He is my Lord. He is my God. I worship him and I honor the man on the middle cross. He is not just a man that he would lie. He instead is my Messiah, my Lord, my Savior, my Jesus Christ, my King of Kings, the first and the last. Can we give Jesus some praise today at all of our locations? Just thank God for the middle man on the cross. Thank God that you deserve death, hell, and the grave. But because of Jesus, because of grace, we got what we did not deserve. Hallelujah. Give him some praise at all of our locations. Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet at all of our locations. Honor the middle man on the cross. Honor the middle man on the cross. Remain standing at all of our locations. Remain standing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you have a rebellious heart? Or do you have a repentant heart? If you are far from God at all of our locations, put this camera on me right here, this middle one. If you are far from God at all of our locations this morning and you need to be right with God, I want to let you know you came to a place of grace. You came to a place that believes that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. You can be clothed in righteousness. You can have shame torn off of you in Jesus' name. God sent his son while you were still sinning, while I was still sinning. Christ died for us. When I was 8 years old, I surrendered my life to Christ in a service just like this one. And many others around you have already done the same. So if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you feel far from God. You feel distant from Him. You are not close to God. You know that if today, if your life ended today, you wouldn't be with Christ in paradise because you're living apart from God. If you want to be made new in Christ today, you need to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we do that very simply here. I'm going to count to three in just a second. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you just to simply raise your hand. In just a minute, when I say three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, making a decision to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So at all of our locations, as our experienced hosts prepare to get ready, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're far from God today. But you want to repent. You want to be close to Jesus. You want to be with Jesus in paradise. Today is going to be that day of salvation for you. Get ready and don't let the enemy lie to you. One, don't be convinced by the lies of the enemy today. This sermon was for you, sir. This sermon was for you, ma'am. Two, if you're far from God today, you want to repent of your sins. One, two, three, shoot your hand up in the air. Shoot it up high. Shoot it up high so that we can see it right over there. Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass you by. If you feel far from God today, many have already made this decision. If you are ready to make this decision, anyone else? Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass you by. Praise be to God. For the sake of those who just raised their hand, we're all going to pray this prayer together at the sound of my voice at all of our locations. Say, Father God. Say it like you mean it. Say, Father God. I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. I love you and I will live for you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's clap our hands to welcome all of those people to the family of God today.
Thanks again for joining us. And thank you to those who give generously to make this ministry possible. You can click the link in our description to give now or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, share it with your friends, and hey, while you're at it, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories. Tag us at My Focus Church. We'd love to hear how God is speaking to you.